Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have so many things in this life and in this world to distract us. We pray that tonight, as we meditate upon your holy word, that you would keep us always prepared in true faith, penitent of our sins, clinging to Christ alone for our hope of heaven, that we may be found ready on the day when he returns. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen. Redeemed, God's grace and mercy are yours, to be found in Christ Jesus, our Savior alone. Amen. Our text for this evening's homily is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. In this chapter, Jesus has been asked by his disciples to instruct them about the coming of the end of the age, the coming of the end of the world, and his return. And Jesus now includes these words: "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Maybe some of you or all of you have heard of the famous Johnstown flood. I was always interested in that. I heard it in a number of different songs and did a little bit of research on it. It took place in 1889 on the Allegheny River in Pennsylvania and also caused some destruction in Indiana. And what happened was there was a fishing club on this river that had decided to build a dam in order to have a little bit larger lake for people to come and vacation and do some fishing and hunting and so on. And suddenly, because of a great rainfall that they had and did not expect, they estimate that 20 million tons of water burst through that dam. It came down the river in a 10-foot high wave, a tidal wave, flowing through various towns and catching many people along the way. It's estimated that it was going 40 miles an hour. Imagine that, a 10-foot wall of water coming down a river going 40 miles an hour. And it killed 2,209 people. Just think of that. Over 2,000 people died. On top of that, there were piles of debris that this flood created that then caught fire. And so there was burning debris coming into people's homes. Another 80 people died burning from the fire. It's just absolutely horrible. It became known as the Great Johnstown Flood or the Conemaugh Calamity. Conemaugh was the county in which this happened. The famous nurse Clara Barton was one of the first helpers on the scene to try to help the victims. It took the town over 5 years to recover from that, and 18 foreign countries sent aid and money to the United States to help people rebuild. Just absolutely amazing to think of that devastation. Now, we occasionally have floods and things that take place, even just in the last summer now. And we occasionally hear of some pretty awesome things here in the United States, but rarely do we anymore hear about something like this, killing 2,000 people. Our Lord has promised ever since the great flood at the time of Noah that he would not send an earthwide flood once again. Jesus in our text refers back to that great deluge and flood and the destruction it caused in the world as a miniature picture, if you will, of the great day of judgment that is coming at the final day when he returns. There was a scholar a few years ago who went back and researched about 200 ancient writings of ancient civilizations and found that 95% of them mentioned a global worldwide flood. 70% of those ancient writings also spoke about a family that survived that flood in a large boat or ship. Jesus here draws on the imagery of Noah and his family and the ark that God commanded them to build as a picture for us in the Holy Christian Church today to understand about the need to be ready. Now, just as in the days of Noah, there was tremendous skepticism, I'm sure, about the words Noah was preaching to people, that this great disaster was going to be falling on the earth. And the same is true today. When reports go out from our pulpits and from the Word of God and the mouths of Christians to the world that there is this great ending of the world that will be coming, think how loosely and how lightly people take it. Think of the skepticism that runs through our culture about it, the jokes that are made about it. And we can often fall prey to that same type of skepticism as well, even as Christians, even as people that have been blessed with the Word of God in our lives and have been given the gift of faith. We can kind of start to fade off into that same sort of skepticism. It's taken so long, for goodness sakes. Why hasn't Christ returned already? The fact that he hasn't come yet means that he's probably never going to come at all. And so we can easily be drawn back, just like the people of Noah's day, to the pleasures of this life and of this world without paying any thought or any attention to the great end that our Lord is predicting for us. St. Peter says, in the last days, scoffers will come. They will say, where is this coming that he promised? And can't we just hear that echoed in our culture today? You Christians, you're so concerned about being prepared for the end of the world and this and that and Christ returning. Where is he? Where in the world is this great Lord of yours that's supposed to come back and bring all of this devastation back upon the earth? Why don't you just join us instead with all the fun that we're having in the world instead of wasting your life, wasting your time, wasting your money and your energy on being ready for Christ to come back? Jesus says, no one knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man will return. Not even the angels, he says. Not even himself. That's how hidden this day is. And that hiddenness, that unknownness, if you will, of the final day is intentional by God to keep the members of his church always ready and prepared. Think about how hard it was for Noah's family building the ark, knowing that they had no sign yet of how bad things were going to be, no sign of this great destruction that was coming. The same is true for Christians in the Holy Christian Church today. We know what God has promised. We know what God is capable of, bringing this destruction to the earth. And at the same time, we look around and things seem to be going fine and well. There are little signs here and there, yes, but overall, it's easy to kind of put it off and think that maybe it's really not going to happen. And the ridicule, I'm sure, that Noah and his family felt, very similar, I would guess, to the ridicule that Christians feel today in their lives of faith as well. So here we sit waiting, just as the family of Noah waited inside of the ark for the end to come, so we are. We're sitting inside of the ark of the Holy Christian Church, separated, if you will, by faith from the rest of the world, waiting for our Lord's final day to come. And it's easy for us to wonder if we're wasting our time. But the rains finally came, and Noah's family suddenly realized, after they watched the horrible destruction around them, that waiting on the Word of God and trusting in his promises and following his commands was all worthwhile. Adherence to God's word will never, never let anyone down. Martin Luther speculated as Noah's family looked out the openings in the ark to see the destruction. He said, who would doubt that they were profoundly shocked by it? Just like the description we heard at the beginning of our homily tonight about the horrors and destruction from that 10-foot wave. Just think of the kind of destruction that Noah's family must have seen. And Jesus uses that as a small miniature picture of the great destruction that is coming at the end of time. We're told that The water rained for 40 days and 40 nights. I've seen it rain for 12 hours straight once in my life, flooded my backyard with about a foot of water. Just can't imagine 40 days and 40 nights of a pouring rain. And we're told that for 150 days, for nearly half a year, the waters sat upon the earth until they finally prevailed and resided. And finally, when Noah's family came out of that ark, I'm sure the appreciation they had for the warning from God, the appreciation they had for the faith that he had put in their hearts to trust his word, and the appreciation they had for the ark itself were tremendous. And so it will be for us on the final day as we watch the destruction that comes to this world. Think of the appreciation we're going to have for the faith that God worked in your heart to repent of your sins, to believe on Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior, who by his blood covered all your sins to atone for every one of them. Think of the appreciation you're going to have for your baptism. Think of the appreciation you're going to have for your parents or others that brought you to faith and taught you the Word of God. Think of the appreciation you're going to have of your Bible with your name on it. Think of the appreciation you're going to have of the cross hanging on your wall. Think of the appreciation you're going to have for the wonderful food that your Savior puts on your tongue every time you go to his altar to receive his body and blood, to be assured that you are God's child, that your sins are forgiven, and that you are coming to heaven someday. May God keep all of us ready in true faith and give us hearts even now to appreciate his wonderful grace. Amen. rise for the period.